He stood between the dead and the living. The statement itself is an arresting one, and one that boggles the mind of anyone who's serious about the Scriptures. Think of it. He stood between the dead and the living. He stood between the dead and the living. The authority of Moses and Aaron had been disputed by an ambitious man of the Levites. And certain of the Levites of the tribe, one of the tribes, had risen up against Moses and Aaron and said, "You take too much upon yourself." Now here you have Moses and Aaron facing what every true leader for God faces at least one time in his ministry, and that is people say he takes too much authority on himself. One of the great problems of many churches is the fact that the preacher is only a figurehead for a dozen committees or so. God's order has been pastor, deacons, people. That's the way it has always been. God never intended for it to take seven people 7 days to put petunias on the Lord's Supper table every week. Somebody has said that a committee is a group of the unprepared who are unqualified to do the unnecessary, who read the minutes and waste the hours. Somebody else has said that a camel is a horse put together by a Baptist committee. I guess it is. So, these people, the Bible says, famous in the congregation, rose up before Moses and Aaron and said, "You take too much upon you." Wait, hold it, hold it. I'm for Aaron and Moses. Amen. I don't know the issue yet, but I'm for Aaron and Moses. I don't know yet what the fight's over, but I'm for Aaron and Moses. Years ago, I made my decision to be for God's man.
Amen.
Now, God's men aren't always right, but I'll be right more times if I stand beside the preacher than if I stand beside anybody else on the face of the earth, if he's a Bible-believing, fundamental preacher. Now, sometimes a preacher will disappoint you, and sometimes you'll be wrong, but I'm going to stand beside Aaron and Moses. You know, there's a reason for that. You don't know what the preacher knows. Now, I don't mean that I'm smarter than you are, the pastor's smarter than you are, but there's some facts that you don't know that God's man knows about the situation. There's some things that I cannot tell you. I got a letter this week. One of our finest men, a good man, and I love him very much. Been a member here for years. And he made some statements he'd never have made if he knew the facts. If he knew. Nobody in this building will know tonight who this man is, but because he's one of the finest men we have, and he loves me. But if you do the fact, the truth is, I'm trying to do the same thing he's doing. But I can't tell him that, because there are reasons why that certain things can't be said. That's one of the problems in America nowadays. Everything happens in America. We bear before the entire public. Everything. We are foolish to announce to the whole world that somebody tried to shoot President Ford. And then if he puts on a vest, then we announce where his protection is, too. So the poor idiots can shoot him in the head instead of the chest now on, you see. Now, there are things that the man of God knows that because of being confidential and because of not being able to unveil some problems and so forth, that he can't tell you. Now listen to me. You listen to me. I'm not trying to get any fellowship. I do not know of a preacher whose people follow him any more loyally and faithfully than the people in this church follow this preacher. I couldn't ask for any better. And so I'm not trying to get anybody to follow me. I'm just trying to say, for your own sake and your own hide, don't you lift up your hand against one of God's anointed. You trust God's man. And what I preach, that I practice. There's not a person in this room that's ever heard me lift up my hand or my tongue against one of God's called preachers. Not a one. Not a one. For your own neck, for your own sake, for your own health, for your own family's sake, don't you lift your hand against God's anointing. So, Moses and Aaron are the object of this rebellion. What did God do? God opened the earth and with one great swipe destroyed these Reubenites and Levites who had risen in judgment against God's men, Moses and Aaron. Now one would imagine that the rebellion would cease after this. I mean, if it's obvious, if the earth opened and these rebels suddenly were destroyed, but an obvious act of God, it looks like that the rebellion would cease. Quite the contrary. The very next day, multitudes gathered against Moses and against Aaron. And they said this, if Moses had prayed, God would not have destroyed those people. They said, we know God did it, but if Moses had prayed, all he had to do is say, dear Lord, don't do it. You know, it's amazing. They were fighting God's man, and yet they knew God's man had power with God. And they said, all Moses had to do is just to pray, and God would not have destroyed these people. So there rose up great multitudes. In fact, many of the 3 million Israelites rose up in judgment against Moses. Now, let's suppose tonight that this entire crowd rose up against me. And let's just say that Brother Fisk, the only two of us. And suppose that all of you rose up against us. That's about the way it was, except many times more. Of the 3 million Jews, how many? Maybe almost all of them. Maybe all of them rose up against Moses and against Aaron. You get the picture. They rushed like mighty waves upon the sea to tear Moses and Aaron to pieces. I mean, they're going to destroy God's men. When suddenly, the cloud that had been hovering over the tabernacle for these many days came down and engulfed all the Israelites. And there was confusion. And God says, get thee up from this people, that I may destroy them in a moment. And what happens? God begins to destroy the people. They begin to die like fire moving along a dry cornfield. Just sweeping across. In fact, absolutely, it has been described that way. Like a fire moving across a dry cornfield. Now get the picture. Here are Moses and Aaron standing alone. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people coming down upon them. Let us at them. We'll tear them to pieces. And they come to tear them from limb, stem to stern. And suddenly Moses says, Aaron, you're the high priest. Quick, Aaron, get the golden censer. Go down to the altar. Get some fire from off the altar. And bring that golden censer back. And he says, run among the people. Can you see Aaron in his high priestly garments? Can you hear those bells ringing? Can you see those pomegranates on the hem of his garment as they flow as Aaron takes off? Can you see that magnificent breastplate on his breast? Can you see that beautiful mitre on his head? Can you see this high priest dressed in his royal garb as he takes off to gets the censer and takes off down the altar? And there he grabs gets the censer full of fire from off the altar and he brings it back. And Moses said, now quick, go among the people. And Aaron walks out. Now the people have been dying just like folks over here would begin to die, and they died on her, and Aaron runs down between them. On this side, 14,700 dead people, and on this side, those who are yet living. And the Bible says that Aaron runs down, holds the censer high, and waves the censer, and stands between the dead and the living. Death dies and stops its work. And there old Aaron stands, over 100 years of age. This old man stands, waving that censer, waving that censer. Let me tell you something, brother. There's a beautiful picture there. The fire in that censer came from the altar where the lamb was slain. The only thing that will stop death is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's the only thing that will stop death. And so, he waves it, and suddenly he stands between the living and the dead. On one side are heaps and heaps of dead people. On the other side, you have trembling, living people, alive only because Aaron stands there with a censer. And God's plague of death is suddenly stopped. Can you see it? Can you see 14,000, three times as many people or more than we have in this room tonight, stacked dead upon each other in heaps? Can you see some mother whose little child had just been killed on one side, and the mother was not yet killed? She looks over and sees the body of a little child stacking up on other little children's bodies. Can you see some husband who looks over and sees his wife as she's been taken and the plague of death has not yet gotten to him? Can you picture some dear wife who looks over and sees her breadwinner, her husband, as his body is lying dead on the other side of the line? And here stands with a censer between the living and the dead. Here stands Aaron, the high priest. Moses couldn't do it. Moses wasn't the high priest. He was the leader, but not the leader as far as the priesthood was concerned. And there is old Aaron. He stands there with his over 100-year-old hand lifting high the censer, and walks and waves that censer between the living and the dead. Can you see the heartbreak? Can you feel the pang? Can you see loved ones looking over on the other side of Aaron and seeing their own loved ones dead? Friends have said goodbye to friends. Mothers have said goodbye to children. Fathers have said goodbye to sons. Wives have said goodbye to husbands. Husbands have said goodbye to wives. Grandfathers and grandmothers have been killed, and grandchildren looking at the dead bodies of their grandmothers as the man of God stands there with that censer standing between the dead and the living. Staying the play of God because he's standing between the dead and the living. A while ago, they were about to kill him. And now, he's saving their lives. A while ago, they sat in judgment and said, "Kill Aaron!" And the same Aaron they were about to kill a while ago tries to save their lives. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what every Christian ought to do. We ought never render evil for evil. We ought never to render cursing for cursing. My Bible says love those that hate you. My Bible says pray for those that despitefully use you. My Bible says bless those that curse you. Vindication should not be a part of a Christian's vocabulary. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And since vengeance belongeth to God, I'm entering into His ministry if I seek vengeance on those who try to injure me. And there's Aaron, who would be dead had not Moses said, "Quick! Quick, Aaron! Get the censer! Go down to the altar! Fill it with fire! Bring it back! Stand between the living and the dead!" And all of a sudden, millions of people are alive, several million people are living who would have been dead just like that had not Aaron stood between the dead and the living. These wicked people, they wish to strip him of his mitre. They wish to take away his embroidered vest. They wish to remove the glittering stones that shone on his breast, on the breastplate. They wish to silence the bells that rang as he walked among the people. They wish to blot out the pomegranates from the hem of his garment. And though they had tried to kill him, though God had said, "Kill him!" And he sent his angels, his death angel, to kill him like a prairie fire. There's Aaron standing between the living and the dead. Let me call your attention to several things. First place, that simple statement. He stood between the dead and the living. Oh, the awesomeness of this. Can you imagine how Aaron must have felt? On this side, there are those who are dead. Little bodies, bodies of little babies, dead! Bodies of little children, dead! Bodies of dear grandmothers, dead! Bodies of loving grandfathers, dead! Bodies of breadwinners, dead! Entire families stacked up on top of families, dead! Why? Tell you why. Because there had been a rebellion against God's man and against God's men. Let me say to everybody in this room tonight, and I say it to myself, I don't care what church is having trouble. I don't care where it is. You don't ever be guilty of standing or lifting up your hand against one of God's anointed. Amen. Years ago, I promised God I'd not do that. Years ago, I recall the story of David, who was being chased, pursued by King Saul. David had killed Goliath. And the ladies had begun to sing a song. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Jealousy! That green, jolly green giant that'll destroy anybody who lets it capture his attention. Jealousy! Gripped the heart of Saul. I'll kill him, Saul said. David is asleep in a cave. Out of the edge of that cave, Saul comes and does not know David's on the inside. David awakens the next morning, goes outside, and there's Saul sleeping on the ground. David could have killed him. In fact, one of David's men said, draw your sword and kill him. And David drew his sword and just cut off the hem of his garment so Saul would know he'd been there. Now, there's a fellow bound to kill David, but David wouldn't fight back. No, sir. No, sir. David wouldn't do it. And they asked David, why didn't you kill him? You had your chance. And David said, I will not. I will not lift up my hand against God's anointed.
Amen.
David wouldn't do it. May I say this? Whoever it is, wherever it is, don't you lift up your hand against God's anointing. I'm not trying to save my own neck. I'm trying to save your neck. See, yours. And so, he stood between the living and the dead. Oh, the awesomeness of it. For many years now, I have never walked in this pulpit lightly. Never. Never. The last thing I say to God as I walk across the threshold of this door right here, the last thing I say to God, every time, oh God, let me preach this morning, or let me preach tonight, as if this were the last sermon I'd ever preach. I don't always preach good. I'm not a great preacher, and I know that, but I always give it all of God. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how weary I am. I don't care how many burdens I carry. Every time I walk in this pulpit, I give it everything I've got. My Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Fall thy might.
Amen.
And this is what I've tried to do through these years. Why? Because I have the consciousness. Tonight, ushers, help the people coming in. Give me a man back there. Help the folks coming in. Tonight, as I stand behind this pulpit, I stand between the living and the dead. There are folks in this room tonight who will die and go to hell unless I give you the very best that I have. And that's why when I walk in this pulpit, and I've done it now for going on 17 long years, I've never taken it lightly. There's always an awesomeness about it. Every week of my life, every week of my life, every week of my life, I walk into this auditorium and have for these many years, and I kneel behind this pulpit, and I say, oh my God, when I stand before my people on the Lord's Day, may I preach as life unto life and death unto death. May God use me. I don't ask for a good sermon. I ask for God to use me. I don't ask for eloquence. I ask for God to use me. Oh, listen, 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 listen. Think of it. Tonight, I stand between the living and the dead in this room. Oh, the awesomeness of it. And I, as I've told you before, the morning we opened this building for the first time, I couldn't believe the crowd. I walked over, looked in this building, and ran back to my office and threw myself on my face and said, oh my God, I'm not big enough for that. I'm not a big preacher. I'm a country preacher. I never intended to have a big church. I never expected I'd ever have a big church. I can't do it. Why? I stand behind this pulpit tonight representing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ, in Christ stead. I stand between the dead and the living. And so do you as you visit, knocking on doors to filibuster out of. You're standing as Aaron stood with his holy censer in years gone by, between the living and the dead. And so do you, as you walk to a Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and as you stand before 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 20 or more young people, and you open this book and teach this book to them, you stand between the living and the dead. And that's why I say away with this folly of just being absent because you don't feel like coming to Sunday school. Away with this folly and sin. I mean sin. I mean sin like drunkenness is sin. I mean sin like murder is sin. Away with this sin of a careless, lackadaisical kind. Come 3 Sundays and miss one. Ladies and gentlemen, if God has given you a Sunday school class in this church, if God has given you a department in this church, you stand every morning as God's representative standing between the living and the dead. You must give it everything you have. Why? You are God's representative. How dare you? No talking, young people. No talking. How dare you give it less than your best? How dare you call in because you've got 100 temperature? Let somebody else teach your Sunday school class. How dare you go see Aunt Susie? How dare you be gone 8 and 9 and 10 weekends a year when God Almighty, the God who wrote this book, the God who made the heavens and the earth, how dare you give it less than all you've got? Away with this half-time service for God. Away with this, the substitute will teach my class. Away with this, I'll not visit my pupils. Oh, there needs to be a holy fear settling across God's people on this corner that we stand between the living and the dead. As I preach across this nation, Brother Vineyard will tell you, he's heard me preach some. We were together Monday and Tuesday. He'll tell you, sometimes we're worn out when we leave here. Sometimes on Monday morning I can barely percolate. But he'll tell you this is true. When I walk in the pulpit, I don't care how many folks are there across this nation. I give it the same dedication I'm giving it right now. I give it the same devotion. And sometimes I walk to my room in some motel on Monday night so tired I can hardly walk to bed or get ready for bed. But I've given it all I had. Why? I represent the King. That's why. I'm not going to give the King a second-rate, second-class, what's left over kind of service. With God, every departmental superintendent in this church would realize you stand between the living and the dead. With God, every teacher with a little children's department or class would realize you stand between the living and the dead. Good God, every time you sing a special behind this pulpit, you realize you stand between the living and the dead. When you lead the singing, you stand between the living and the dead. You turn on the air conditioner, you stand between the living and the dead. When you sing a solo, you stand between the living and the dead. And that's why we ought to say, by God's mercy, can you imagine Aaron saying to Moses, 14,700 bodies stacked up over here on this side. 2.5 or 3 million Jews over here about to die like all these did. If Aaron hadn't have gotten up there, all of them would have died. Can you imagine? Moses saying, Aaron, get the censer. Quick, get the censer. Run down through the people. And Aaron said, I've got 99.6 fever. And I can't do it. Well, I've got a company coming in from California. You tell your company to go to church or stay home by themselves, you backslider. Well, I've got to go on a vacation. Uncle George is having a ptomaine poison celebration next Sunday. Poppycock. Sin. Foolishness. Paganism. Heathenism. Ladies and gentlemen, you stop to realize that job that God has given you to do causes you to stand between the living and the dead. Somebody walks in that door back there, or that door back there, these doors, any door, and the usher doesn't do his job. The choir looks back toward the usher and toward the person walking in. And somebody looks where the choir looked. It may be that somebody will burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever because one usher doesn't do his job. One choir member goes to sleep during the sermon. One. People look, and one unsaved person looks to the choir member who's sound asleep in the sermon. And that person doesn't listen and snickers and dies and goes to hell. There's been a holy consciousness And I believe this, honestly. I believe that if there's a difference in Jack Hyles and any other preachers in America, it's not ability. I'm not a great preacher, and I know it. But I believe this is it. I live constantly with a holy consciousness that I'm God's, or one of God's, representatives. I cannot give less than my best. I cannot give half service. I cannot be part-time. What job has God given to you to do? What is your job? Do it! Do it! Do it! Aaron said, Moses, I can't go. I have an upset stomach. Well, Aaron, you just vomit your way right out there, boy. And hold that censer high. I mean, if you've got to regurgitate on both sides of that line. I've walked in this pulpit, and I don't want any credit. I just want you to do the same thing. I've walked in this pulpit hundreds of times, and I had to lean against the pulpit to even get strength enough to preach. I can say this is true. I've not always done well, but I've never walked all out of my study and gotten on my knees and remembered what God found when He found me without saying to God, I believe I did the best I could. I believe I did the best I could. Why? Because I'm standing between the living and the dead across America. I realize it. Your very lives are at stake. Somebody said, not often do folks say this, but somebody said, I just think Brother Hiles ought to stay home more. Brother, you better pray God will send some of us folks around this country to save this nation so your kids won't be taken away from you and put in a concentration camp somewhere. I love these kids. I love these girls that sang a while ago. These old ladies sort of got in the way while I was standing up here with them, but I love these kids. And I've given my life, much if not all of my life, for the young folks, especially of this church. They're good to me. They put money under my door. I got 2 pennies tonight. and I got a quarter this morning. Last Sunday afternoon, just before I was getting ready for the service, I looked down and there was a little finger that pushed a quarter under the door, my office. And I looked down, saw that finger and the quarter. Obviously, the owner of that finger and the former owner of that quarter recanted and was sorry that he or she had put a quarter. And so, she tried, I guess as a woman, because women grab money more than men. And she stuck her fingers under the door. I was watching her. She tried to reach that quarter. Her finger just barely touched it and pushed it a little farther in. And of course, I pulled it a little farther in myself because I wanted it. And I stood there and watched her, or him. Not sure who it was. Couldn't tell. A little tiny hand. They went away. I heard a noise again. They came back with a tie. I mean, a tie folded up. And stuck that tie under there. And tried to bring that quarter back. You say, why didn't you push that quarter closer to the door? I'll give you 2 guesses. I needed a quarter. And then they came back with a pencil or pen. Trying to get that quarter. I guess for 15 minutes, they tried to get that quarter. You say you're the cruelest man in the entire world. Yes, but I'm rather wealthy. And I had a good time. And they put money under my door. And I love them. And they love me. And they're my buddies and my sweethearts. And I want them, as I've said 10,000 times in this pulpit, I want them to have a chance. And I aim to take off on Monday as long as I've got strength. and try to gather me a crowd of people somewhere in America with a group of preachers. Last year, over 32,000 preachers heard me preach across this nation. Amen. I intend to gather me a group of preachers somewhere every Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. And I aim to pour my soul out to them. Brother Vineyard knows this is true, and others of you that have heard me, you know this is true. I intend to pour my soul. Why? I'll tell you why. Because as God's man, I have the consciousness I'm standing between the living and the dead. As we visit, we're standing between the living and the dead. You say, Brother House, how can I really get with it on my bus route? Stop and realize every visit you make, you're standing between the living and the dead. How can I be the kind of Sunday school teacher I ought to be? Stop and realize you're standing between the living and the dead. Our ushers, our custodians, our musicians. That means, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that when Aaron stood up there with that censer, he had time to complain and fuss with Moses? Do you think he had time to say, Moses, you criticized me the other day? Or, Moses, I don't like the way you preach. I don't like what you wear. Good night. What does it matter? 14,700 bodies are stacked up on this side. Dead! Nearly 3 million on the other side. All of them about to die. Doesn't matter. All that matters is some people are dying. And we must stop it. Away with the bickering. Away with your evil clamoring. Away with your sitting in judgment. Away with your picking on things that you don't particularly like. Listen. There is not one church alive. When as many folks to Christ are doing as much to save this nation as First Baptist Church of Hammond is. And brother, if you can't stay here and be happy, if you can't give your tithes here and be happy, then, brother, there's something woefully wrong with you. Woefully wrong with you. You say, you're trying to hurt me. I'm trying to save your hide. That's what I'm trying to do. Amen. Number two. Aaron was an old man standing between the living and the dead. Old man. 100 years old or older, and some folks say he was 120. Huh? Aaron. Quick! Where? Can you see that old man? God bless him. Can you see that old man getting that censer? And with a feeble hand and a palsied body and a trembling lip and eyes that are not quite as awake as they used to be. Can you see that old man taking that censer and running as fast as he can down to get that fire from the altar and running back and holding that censer up as high as he can? Old man! He didn't have time to wait. See him in his holy garments. Hear those bells as they ring. See those pomegranates as they flow on the hem of his garment. See it as he runs! Every time I hear old Dr. John Rice preach, I thank God for old men that keep on running. Every time I heard old Dr. R.G. Lee stand up and preach, almost 90 years of age, I thank God for the old warriors who are still holding the censer high, still standing between the living and the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation's about gone. I mean, it's about gone. We don't have time to play. We don't have time to fuss. We don't have time to say, I didn't get my way, I'm going to pull out. Oh, you see, you're mad at me. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I love you enough. I don't want the wrath of God to come on you and your children and go to the devil because you're ticking. You're not hurting me. We don't have any. There's not a preacher in America has more loyal people than I have. Not a one. But brother, there's some of you folks not doing a solitary thing for God. Not a thing. It's time you jumped in the battle. Stood with the rest of us between the living and the dead. Wait a minute. The third thing about Aaron, he stood alone. Alone. He alone was the high priest. Nobody else could hold that golden censer. Nobody else could get that fire from off that altar. He stood alone. The princes of Israel didn't come with him. The Levites of Israel could not come with him. The priests of Israel could not come. Even Moses couldn't come. He had to stand alone. Let me serve notice on you. I've made up my mind. I am going to live and die by my convictions.
Amen.
Somebody from the house said, with all the preachers that used to believe it's wrong for ladies to go around wearing pants, and now they allow it, aren't you going to change your convictions? I aim to go ahead. I've been preaching almost 30 years. I don't see a need to change the convictions I've had for over a quarter of a century. You said, doesn't it get lonely? Brother, where Jesus is, you never get lonely. I'd rather be outside the gate with him than inside the camp with the others without him. I'd rather suffer outside the camp if needs be. But I've made my mind. I've set my heart. 30 years. Now hear me. For 30 years, the name Hiles has meant a few things across this country. It's meant soul winning. It's meant conviction. It's meant fundamental. And I've come too far to let loneliness cause me to turn back. You say, aren't you afraid you won't get any students at Hiles Anderson? I'm not interested in how many I get. I'm interested in what kind we get.
Amen.
Alone. I know what it's like to be alone. I know what it's like to have friends of a lifetime turn their back on me because of convictions that for which I've tried to stand. I know what it's like to have my preacher voice not even speak to me because of what I've tried to stand. But can you see old Aaron? Maybe he had white hair. Maybe he had a long white beard. I know his brows furrowed. His eyes have become pathetic because of many years of toil. His face is like crinkled leather. His shoulders are stooped and his hands tremble maybe as he walks. But can you see old Aaron out there holding up that censer? On one side, 14,700 dead people. On the other side, nearly 3 million Jews still alive. Why? Because the old man ran. Ran! I'm not sure how he ran.
He may have run like this. I don't know. He may have run like this. But he ran! He ran!
I'm tired of walking Christians. I'm tired of sitting Christians. I'm tired of trotting Christians. Run! People all across America say, Brother Hodge, you're going to wear yourself out. Brother, wear out and rust out. And some of you folks about to rust your carburetor all closed up right now. Standing alone between the living and the dead. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again and again and again. And I lay this Bible down or one like it. And I've walked in that door and down these steps for the last time. When I sat here for the last time and looked out over my people. When I said, shall we stand for the invitation, and the aisles are filled and people come and these deacons stand across the front and these staff members receive the folks who come. For the last time, I want to be able to look these young ladies in the eye down here and say, kids, I did everything I could to try to give you a decent country. I want to look at our young folks over here and say, kids, maybe the old ship's going to sink, but did the best I could to keep it from sinking. So aren't you afraid that you'll die young? No, I'm afraid I'll loaf young. Aren't you afraid of going too fast? No, sir. I'm afraid of going too slow. Why? 30 years I've been standing between the dead and the living. And I aim to follow old Aaron, who took his censer and went by himself, stood between the living and the dead. May I say this? Also, number four, he was ready. Prepared. Incense was at his side. His garments were on. His jewels were in place. His breastplate was in order. His mitre was on. Holiness unto the Lord was written across his garments. He was ready with the fire in his hands. Now, lest someone tonight is going to say, I'm going to quit school and take off, you mark it down. Aaron was ready. He prepared himself for this occasion. He prepared himself. May I say, while you're at Hiles Anderson College, you get your gun loaded. If you have a day off and we're having a funeral here, you come to the funeral and see how we do it. There's a wedding here and you have the night off, you come and see how we do the wedding. You watch the way we sit on the platform. You take notes of everything you can. You find every successful man around here and you emulate what he does. And you get yourself prepared for one day God will use you to stand between the living and the dead. He was ready. Can you see him? Can you see him? Can you see him standing there with a censer in his hand? Can you see the fire from off the altar burning outside the censer? Can you see him waving that censer around? And can you see the plague of God stopping? Look on this side. Look at those old men whose bodies lie lifeless. Look at those little boys and girls who will never walk on this earth again. Look at those dear, beautiful young ladies, perhaps waiting for marriage, waiting for the man of their lives. Look at their lifeless forms. Look at those mothers holding little children close to their breast, seeking for safety, and see them as they crumble in death and stack pile upon pile, a mother and a baby, a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, a little child and a grandmother. Look at them. 14,700 dead people on one side. But look on the other side. Look at all those millions of people that would have been dead if Aaron had not stood between the living and the dead. Can you see? Can you see loved ones looking over the line? Some dear mother looks and sees a little baby that's been on the wrong side of the line. Her heart is broken. Or can you see some mother who said, oh, Aaron, thank you, Aaron. Thank you. My family was just about to pass away, just about to be killed. Thank you, Aaron. You saved my life. I'm sure that when Aaron got back to his place where his rest came, put his head on his pillow, Aaron tossed and tumbled that night. He looked on one side and saw 3 million folks that live because of he stood between the living and the dead. He looked on the other side and he saw the faces of those corpses stacked in heaps on one side. One of these days, I'm going to preach my last sermon and face my Lord. You'd be amazed, all the people I've got up there. 30 years I've been sending folks up there. You'd be amazed. And I'm going to enjoy it. When I stop to think of all the people that'll be on the other side, suffering in the torments of the damned forever and ever, burning in the fire that never quenches. I'll say with the songwriter, I wish I'd given him more. You won't be sorry when you face God that you went hard all the time. You won't be sorry when you face God that you gave it your all. The entire sermon tonight is to say one thing and one thing only. I wish every person in this room tonight, every student of Hiles Anderson College, every student of Hammond Baptist High School, every child, every dad, every mother, every choir member, every usher, every nursery worker, every Sunday school teacher, every bus captain and bus worker, I wish a holy awareness could come upon us that when we walk in those doors and this choir sings and we walk in this room, we stand between the living and the dead. When you leave your house or leave your campus to go out to the bus routes on Sunday, on Monday, Saturday, you stand between the living and the dead. Tomorrow night in Little Rock, Arkansas. And by the way, you won't ever know unless you're a pastor with a heavy heart. You'll never know what a sermon like this does to a preacher. Just one like this. But tomorrow night in Little Rock, Arkansas, I'll be on my face in the room before I go. And I'll say, oh my God, as I stand tonight between the living and the dead, oh God, give me power and energy and strength. Tuesday, I'll fly to Washington, D.C. And I'll be flying back. I'll leave 5 o'clock in the morning, I guess, from Little Rock and fly to Washington, D.C. and be there in Washington all day. Preach in Little Rock Monday night, fly to Washington and back Tuesday. Be in a 5-hour meeting through the day. And then Tuesday night, back to Little Rock where I'll preach again. Sure, I'll be tired. Sure. And sure, when the alarm goes off Wednesday morning, I won't want to get up. But get up I will. And go I intend to. Because God has given me a responsibility. And that responsibility is as serious and sacred as Aaron's of old. My job! And yours! Herself. The fires of torment are trying to destroy our children and wreck our lives and ruin our nation. If God could give us this many people who realize every time we walk before our Sunday school classes, knock on a door, run a bus route, or sing a solo, we stand between the living and the dead. We could change this country. We could. Every time I stand to preach, I don't care where it is, I feel like a football player must feel at the kickoff of the Super Bowl. Old Aaron and Moses go back to their tents. 14,700 funerals to conduct. And Aaron looks up at God and says, "Dear God, I didn't save 14,700, but thank God I saved 3 million. Because he stood between the living and the dead. I don't know anything any bigger than that. I don't know anything any bigger than that. You say, "Preacher, I'm too old." You're over 100. Then stand between the living and the dead. "I'm too tired." Tired than an old 120-year-old man. And stand between the living and the dead. "I'm afraid." More afraid than 2 men with 3 million people trying to kill them and tear their limbs apart. Then stand between the living and the dead. You'll forgive me for saying this. But last week, I think it was Linda, said, "Dad,
If we were 2 or 3 years old now, instead of being 15 and 18, would you stay home more? And I said, sweetheart, if I thought I could save a nation for you and give you a chance, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. You know what we need to realize around here? We're in the big leagues. We're in the big leagues. We stand between the living and the dead. Let us pray. Holy Father, may an awesome realization settle on my church tonight, of thy church tonight, of our nation and its needs. May we stop to realize that those who call, those little fingers that tried to get that quarter under the door of my study, may be enslaved fingers unless something happens in America. I pray that you'd give every person in this room tonight who holds an office in this church the consciousness that we stand between the living and the dead. And I pray you'd help those that are doing nothing to realize what would have happened if Aaron had done nothing. And if we do nothing, I pray you'd help us to go forth in this great Chicagoland area, and yes, even around this great land of ours, to stand between the living and the dead. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What are you doing? What are you doing? Some of you quit bus routes. Slacker. AWOL, Gold Brick. Used to go soul winning. Never anymore. Was the day when you had a big Sunday school class, you worked at it. You're AWOL. AWOL. Absent without leave. No longer standing between the living and the dead. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, God has rebuked me tonight. God has rebuked me tonight. Brother Hiles, maybe some of you have to say, Brother Hiles, I've been picking. Just picking. Brother, our country is going to the devil while you're picking. I wonder who would say, Brother Hiles, I've not been doing my job like I should. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me tonight. As I've seen old Aaron, that old 120-year-old man, holding that censer in a tired, weary hand with drooping shoulders and unsure steps. God has rebuked me tonight. God has spoken to me tonight. I've not been doing my jobs as I should have been doing them. And I want you to pray for me and God to forgive me. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. You may lower your hands. Some of you visitors, you're good people, fine people, but as sorry as the devil when it comes to serving God. Never win a soul. Never win a soul. You need to get you a church where you can serve God and get busy and stand between the living and the dead. Some of you Sunday school teachers need to get in or get out. Some of you bus folks ought to run down this aisle tonight and say, I'm not going to quit my rap.
I'm not. Because I stand between the living and the dead. Father, bless these people. Oh, God in heaven, I pray tonight that tens of thousands of people will be in heaven because of this service. And I pray that one more nail will be driven in the devil's casket tonight. And I pray tonight that you would help America be one step closer to being saved. Because those of us who are thy children have stopped to realize we stand between the living and the dead. In a few moments we're going to sing. You do whatever you ought to do. Whatever you ought to do. You folks that teach in Hammond Baptist Grade School, you stand up to teach every morning and every afternoon. You ought to realize you stand between the living and the dead. You folks that teach in Hammond Baptist High School should give it nothing less than your best. You folks who teach in Hiles Anderson College should realize that you have potential Martin Luther's and John Calvin's and Dwight Moody's Billy Sunday sitting before you. You stand between the living and the dead. You folks that sing in the choir so glibly stay at home from the choir. So glibly fulfill your responsibility. You folks that have Sunday school classes think nothing of just taking off 6, 8, 9, 10 Sundays a year. Why don't you stop and realize you stand between the living and the dead? You do what God says you ought to do tonight. This altar's here. You use it as God speaks to your heart. If you're here tonight and you are one of the dead, I mean you don't know that you're saved. You don't know that if you died tonight you'd go to heaven. I stand tonight holding high the blood and the fire from off the altar of Calvary and say, look at this and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word. Hallelujah! If you only that you look and live. You come down these aisles tonight. Let us know that you want to receive Christ. One of our men will meet you at the altar. You want to come for baptism, you come. If you want to come to join this church but transfer, you come. If you're coming for salvation or baptism or church membership, you come to one of our assistant pastors here at the altar. If you're coming just to say, oh my God, a holy urgency has come on my soul tonight, that I stand between the living and the dead. The altar's